الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's khutbah was regarding us, the youth. And I'm looking around, everybody seems to be pretty young to me. And the Shaykh was mentioning the danger that current youth, of course he's going to be speaking about his country, Saudiya, but which is applicable to elsewhere as well, from the Muslim land, about the dangers, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, about the dangers that the youth are being exposed to. And the reality is, it is the youth who carry on the society, and it is the youth who are the future of the society. And with them being upright, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With them being upright, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, then the society will be upright. And when the youth are corrupt, I mean, what do you expect? When the older generation, assuming their righteous, pass away, and their children are not righteous, then you will have a society with a bunch of individuals who are not righteous, and nobody will be able to carry this deen properly. And so the Shaykh was mentioning the problem with the teenagers nowadays, and what they are being exposed to, barakallahu feek, and what they are being exposed to in this day and time. And then he went on to mention the solutions, and that is the sunnah. Hold on, we'll wait. We'll give you 2 more minutes. Hey. And that's the sunnah, is that we don't just want to present problems, we have to give people an alternative. Say you have such and such and such problem, but here's a solution. But just to tell people all the problems and leave and hang them and get them depressed is unwise. So the Shaykh Barakallahu Fi is aware of that. So he mentioned the problems with the teenagers and the youth, and the importance and the focus that we need to have on them. Then he started mentioning where the problems exist and in what forms they take and what are the solutions in order to get over these difficulties. So the first thing that he went to is the family, home. If the teenager is no good, it's probably because the family is no good, unless really otherwise. And he was mentioning the reality about fathers and those who are raising those who are under them, Tayyib, which is us, those of you who have children. When the father is simply busy with making money, and this is a misconception that some of us have, we think our role as the person in charge of the family is simply making money. So whatever people want, if the wife complains, here's some money, just be quiet. And if the child complains, here's some money, just don't tell me nothing anymore. And some of us use this method as a means of getting by. And so when your child is busted, a few years later, you turn around and tell him, didn't I get you shoes when you wanted shoes? Didn't I buy you a car when you wanted a car? Didn't I give you a house when you wanted a house? And you wonder why your child is no good, and all you mention to him is all the money and the favors you have done to him. And we seem to forget the element of upbringing and having that done properly. So the Shaykh was warning and advising the families and those who are in charge, the father specifically, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pertaining to his children, to their children. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. All you who believe, protect your, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect yourselves and your family from the fire. Its fuel will be men and stones. Okay, it's not going to be some wood or some gasoline. Men will be keeping the fire lit. Muslims and non-Muslims. So it is our duty to protect our children We protect ourselves first and foremost, and then we protect our children right afterwards. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Each one of you is a guardian, and he is responsible for those who are under him. And then he enumerated him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He enumerated them. He mentioned the man is a guardian over his family, and he is responsible, mas'ul. He will be asked about them on the day of judgment. What have you done with that family that was given to you? What have you done for your wife? What have you done for your children? How did you protect them from the fire? Did you just let them live life according to what they like? Did you advise them? Did you take care of them? Did you nourish them spiritually? Not money. This is something we will be asked for. So we need to either fix ourselves so we will have the right answer, or we have no other choice but having the answer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept in the day of judgment. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is one element and one problem and one reason for the destruction of the teenagers and the youth is because home, back home is no good. And he struck some examples where the mom and the dad are fighting all the time. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And the child has nowhere to go. The child doesn't want to be at home because all day the home is not peaceful. There's shayateen in the house. So he runs away, and most likely he will be picked up by some bad companion who will take him down his track. So if the household is sound and the relationship between the husband and the wife is decent, and they are treating each other according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, then that place will be a good place for nourishment and for bringing up a good child. The second problem, or the second issue that we have with the children, is a companion. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilih, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil." Each one of you is upon the religion of his companion. So let each one of you look, who is his companion? Who is he spending his time with? Who is he befriending? You will find that a Muslim cannot get along with anyone but a Muslim. And a righteous Muslim cannot get along with anyone but a righteous Muslim. And you will find the evil people having harmony and they enjoy each other's company. And the righteous people likewise. So if you are into things and worshipping Allah, and your buddy is into disobeying Allah, chances are you won't get along. Because you want to go to the masjid and he wants to go to the drinks of coffee. You want to speak about Allah, he wants to speak about girls. You want to recite the Quran, he wants to sing a song. It won't work. But if you find yourself getting along with this individual, guess what? You're just like him. So the companion one of us takes, is a dangerous thing. And the Prophet ﷺ warned us from the evil companion. And he said he is like the blacksmith. Now, and the example of the bad companion is like a blacksmith. He will either burn your clothes or you will stink because everything around him stinks. Unlike the good companion who is like the musk seller. He will either offer you some for free or you will buy from him, or at least you will smell a good odor. And look at the difference. And this is the Prophet ﷺ advising us to be careful. Who do we take as friends? So this is another thing that the teenagers will fall into. You'll find a young man or a young woman who's 50-50, and then she meets X individual, and then things are down the drain from that point on. So he was advising the families to make sure, what are their children doing? And who are they befriending? We have to make these guidelines. Not to be picky, and to be nosy, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah, and to be nosy, but this is as means of protection for our family members. The third thing that the Shaykh mentioned, which is part of the problem, is time. You have so much time on your hand. Subhanallah, you find that human beings are two kinds. Some people never have time, and some people have plenty of time. Some brothers really never have time to do anything. By the time they finish work, they go home. By the time they eat, they go to sleep. By the time they finish salah, yani their life is like this. And other people have all the time in the world. You want to do something? Oh man, I got plenty of time. I got nothing else to do. And this is how people are. Anywho, so those people with plenty of time, if they don't utilize this time properly, it's a problem. Because you get bored. So the shaitan comes and starts whispering ideas to you. Why don't you do A, B, C? Why don't you do X, Y, Z? Why don't you do this and do that? Since you don't have any time, your iman might not be strong enough to prevent yourself or protect yourself, he will take you along his route. So we need to fill up our time with something beneficial. Giving da'wah, reading the Qur'an, learning, gaining knowledge in the deen, enjoying the good, forbidding the evil, keeping family ties, being kind to the parents. I mean, you know, the doors of goodness are unlimited. There's so many different things that we could do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All we have to do is think about it. The other then the Shaykh mentioned, these are some of the problems. I probably missed a few. And this is, you get used to me by now, so I don't have to apologize anymore. Anyways, yes?
Housemaids.
Who?
Housemaids.
Housemaids?
Yeah.
He didn't mention that. Barakallahu fi. No, he didn't mention that. But he did mention the barakallahu fi. He did mention the satellite TV. That big shaitan that comes in the shape of a circle, whatever you want to call him. A'udhu billahi min. Wallahi, we don't know. I remember when it first started coming out years back, and I was listening to the tapes. Tayyib, I was listening to the tapes of some of the du'at and some of the scholars warning the people, the Muslims, the Saudi Muslims, be careful of this dish, be careful of the satellite dish, it's going to do this to our community, it's going to do this, and they were very cautious about it. And I was back in the United States. Now I come over here, and wallahi, I see exactly what they are warning from. I see it manifesting in the people. So much so, that the other day when we go into the lecture in the Saudi German hospital, me and another brother, he was taking me over there to the house. So Brother Ali could pick me up. So we go by a car of a bus, three teenagers, listening to some rap. You know, rap Tupac. I used to write rap, so I know what it's all about. And they're sitting in the car, all of them dancing like this. And I knew something was wrong. Man, you look like a bunch of Saudis. I don't know what you're doing, jump. You don't even know what they're saying. So I told the brother, for Allah's sake, come close to these guys. So he pulled over next to us. I said, hey, y'all American, man? He said, true? I said, y'all American? He doesn't even understand two words of English. I said, are you American? In an American accent, trying to see, maybe they're American chilling in Saudi, you know, enjoying the rap life. They don't even know two words of English. I said, what are you doing in Arabic? Then I told him. I said, what are you doing trying to present people that you're not them? Why are you imitating people that probably laugh at you if they see you? You don't even understand this junk that you're listening to. They sat down like this. And Allah decreed that we go this way and that we drove away. And this is an example. Where would these guys learn about this junk if they didn't have some foolish satellite channel who was showing them how people act crazy over there? So they want to look like them, so they buy their clothes and they look like non-Muslims and they act foolish as if Allah's pleased with them at that particular moment. But this is because of that satellite. Otherwise they were nice and easy, they don't know nothing about this stuff. They won't meet nobody with this kind of character, so they will just be regular Muslims. But when you bring in problems to your house and shayateen in your house and have your daughter sit there and learn the deen and learn the affairs of the world from a TV show, then you will see wonders. Because you have somebody else educating besides you. And guess what? They're going to tell them whatever they want to tell them. Let alone it's coming from America and Britain and all these countries who really don't care much about ethics and morals and manners. It's a bunch of animals, living like animals, looking like animals, talking like animals. Really, Allah called them animals in the Quran. Don't be mad at me. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Verily, they are like the cattle, but they are more astray. Because the cattle remember Allah. Because Allah created the sheep and the cows for us to utilize them, and they do what Allah created them for. But the kafir, Allah created them to worship Him, but He's too busy. So the animals became better than the kuffar. And there's a kafir who has the ability to accept Islam, who is 50-50, may Allah guide him. Who might have some good manners, might conduct himself in a certain way, these are half a problem. I'm talking about the crazy kuffar. You know, those outrageous ones. Anyways, Allah called them worse than more astray than the cattle. And so this is another problem that the Shaykh mentioned. And then he mentioned some of the solutions and some of the things that we need to keep in mind as people who are people under their responsibility and children. And we need to be careful of the enemies who are trying to destroy Islam from within. And their target is the youth. Their target is the youth, because the youth are that soil that is willing to fertilize. That soil where you plant something and you see it grow. An old person is an old person. You try to get an old person to sing a rap song, he'll probably tell you to go home. Say, "I'm too old for this stuff, man. I'm already, I'm cool." You get a young child, he probably won't understand what you're saying. But you catch a youth, he will interact with you. Say, "What's up? Yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, tell me, give me, teach me." So the youth, and this is what they're targeting. So we need to protect our youth. Each one of us need to keep that in mind from the young age as they're growing up. You don't wait till he's 18 years old, tell him, "Oh, by the way, I've been wanting to tell you, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." You gotta do it at a young age, so they reach a point where they don't need you no more. And this is the role of a teacher. A teacher is somebody who makes himself eventually unneeded. You keep teaching the people things till the people don't need you anymore. Why? Because they have learned the ways to grow themselves, to teach themselves. So you become worthless, which is fine, but at least they benefited. And then another person came and spoke about cigarettes. I think I've already picked on you regarding the cigarettes, but he mentioned in other words that we are killing Muslims when you smoke a cigarette. Because so much money is being spent, I don't know, $12 million. He was mentioning some outrageous numbers coming from Saudi only. So many, 23,000 people die every year from smoking, and then all this money is being sent. 10% is going to Israel by Philip Morris, you know, the owner of Marlboro and all kinds of stuff. That guy who came after you left. And I looked around, I found none of you, so I had to come back also because I knew you'll be waiting. Otherwise, I wanted to see what kind of statistics they had. But in a nutshell, brothers, what we were discussing was the youth and the role of the youth, the importance of the youth, and the youth that have come before us and generations before us, and all the benefits and all the goodness and all the examples they used to strike in this ummah. As opposed to nowadays, where we have been bombarded with all kinds of ideologies and all kinds of methodologies other than that of the Prophet Muhammad and his companions. So we are being led astray. But he said, "Don't despair. We still have hope in these youth as long as we start enjoining the good and forbidding the evil and giving da'wah to Allah and reminding each other day and night about that which is pleasing to Allah. Bi-idhnillah, there will be fruitful results eventually. But don't despair. At the same time, don't think everything is okay, because everything is not okay. Muslims are the target all over the world. You know it. You probably had Islam as a target before you became a Muslim, one way or another. So acknowledge this reality and be ready to defend your deen with knowledge. This is what we need currently. Knowledge. Muslims are ignorant. This is why we are being hurt. It ain't about money, we have money. It ain't about doctors, we got plenty of those. It ain't about other things, it's about knowledge. We don't know about the deen. So we, inshallah, could be those who will change, who will make that change. And be those who attain knowledge and learn that which is pleasing to Allah, so our children will be likewise, so this Muslim ummah will become beneficial for the humanity, and everybody will know the truth about Islam, and bi-idhnillah, people will enter into Islam in groups. والله تعالى أعلم، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.